Dear listeners, Sai Ram and greetings from Prashant in Elam. Welcome to a series, Trist with Divinity, offering you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. Today, we bring you the second part of the conversation with author and Poppy Hillcott, a very senior and honored Sai couple from Australia. Author has been coming to Swami for more than 3 decades and has held various important offices in the Sai organization. In the year 1983, Baba appointed him as the chairman of the first Sai Center in Queensland, Australia. Later in 1986, Swami selected him to be the chairman of the Central Council in Australia. In 1990, he became the central coordinator for the Sai organizations in New Zealand, Fiji and Pacific Islands. After he had served in this position for several years, crisscrossing the continents, giving talks and organizing various Sai activities, in 2004, Swami appointed him as a senior advisor to the Prashanti Council, the body which oversees the activities of the International Sai Organization. Besides this, for several years, Arthur was the chairman of the Christmas Committee which organizes the celebration of Christmas in Prashanti Nilayam. He was in Prashanti Nilayam again in the month of December 2011, and this conversation was recorded a couple of days after the Christmas celebration. In the first part of this interview, author and Poppy shared about the journey to Swami and how the Lord has been guiding and protecting them even as they were deeply involved with organizational work. In today's episode, author and Poppy go on to narrate some more instances of His love and grace they have experienced in their lives, and also how by His grace they had the opportunity to meet many spiritual masters who helped them in their spiritual quest. So, over now to author and Poppy Hillcott.
At one time, I went for a walk and I got severe pain. And very severe pain. And I had to sit down at the side of the road. And I was very fortunate, a lady came along and said, "Do you need a lift home?" And I said, "Yes." And she took me home. But I went to a doctor and they gave me some treatment and a spray to take. And that was all right, but I'd have to go for something more permanent. And I thought that I would go to a meeting. I had to go to the meeting in New Zealand. And Swami set the whole scene up for a start, because I said to Poppy, I said, "You know, I think I should talk to the chairman over there and get him to put this doctor up and get some good work out of him. He's a good man." And so I had to go over for this meeting. But 3 days after I'd said that to Poppy, the chairman sent me an email saying, "Arthur, if you don't mind, I'd like to put this doctor up and get some more work out of him."
Mm. Where did you put him up to? On the Central Council?
Yes, on the Central Council, and then in charge of education. Mm. But I thought that I'd be all right at the meeting. And so I had the spray in my pocket. I took it out and I held it in my hand while the meeting was going on. And then the angina came on. And so I thought I was being clever, and when the pain came on, I just had the spray in my hand. I just put it up and made that I was coughing, and then I'd give a squirt at the same time. But the doctor noticed it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and he said to me after the meeting, "Have you got a problem, Arthur?"
So the doctor knew you were using a spray.
So anyway, I said yes, and I told him. He said, "Don't let the knife touch you." he said, I'll ring the collation clinic on Monday and I'll let you know what happens. So he rang me Monday to say, look, I've made an appointment for you on Tuesday and again on Thursday. And then when you get down to Christchurch, the doctor there will give you another treatment. And when you come back to the conference in Rotorua, I'll give you two more. And so that was the start of it. But while we were in the clinic for the first time, the lady behind the counter was talking to another lady who'd had some treatment, and she was telling her, when you get back to Australia, there's a doctor on the Gold Coast, which is way just above it, that will give you the treatment. He's had the training for it. So that gave us the answer for when we got home, we could go and see him. And through this collation and cayenne pepper, I became all right. It's cleaned everything out, apparently. So you see.
But then when we went in for the interview with Swami, he confirmed that.
Oh, yes. That was that's what I just mentioned. Oh, yes.
Yeah. You can tell about that.
Swami was talking to the cardiologist in there in
this
the interview.
After in your subsequent trip to Puttaparthi.
Yes. Years after. And he's talking to that doctor about the operations weren't being done properly. It's too hard on the patient. And was talking about that and the veins in the legs and so forth. Then he turned and looked at me. And he turned back to the cardiologist. He said, I fixed him up 7 years ago.
Wow, I fixed him up.
Yes.
No operation.
No.
He was the one taking care through so many people.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, I've seen a lot of it too. All these things. And he's drawing you along further all the time.
Yes.
And it comes to the point where you learn more.
Yes. He's taking care of your body.
Yes.
So that it helps you in your spiritual journey.
Yes, right.
The body doesn't become an obstacle in your spiritual journey.
Yes.
So tell us how he guided you in your spiritual journey. The interactions that you had with him in the interview room or in the veranda. And, you know, the lessons that he taught you about leading a spiritual life the way he wants all of us to lead.
Because I had this yearning to find the truth, and I found that the hardships that I'd gone through and the loss of my brother at the time, which knocked me about, that you stop asking why me?
Yes.
And you ask questions like, what's life all about?
Yes.
What do I have in life? What am I supposed to do? Why is there suffering? Why do some people suffer more than others? Who am I? Who am I really? And then when Swami drops little one-liners, like when I was asking, or he asked me rather, about the Christmas program, and I said, oh, that part of it, the other's looking after that, Swami. And he looked at me very sweetly and very quietly. He said, there are no others.
There are no others.
Only God exists.
What a statement. There are no others.
Yeah. So gradually that, and the fact that we were led to great holy ones or their teachings or both. One was to Nisargadatta.
Yes, Nisargadatta.
From Bombay.
Yes, you have read his teachings.
I sat with him on the way to see Swami. Yes.
You've seen him?
Yes.
That is amazing.
A great teacher.
Like Ramana Maharshi, he always talked about the non-dualistic philosophy.
Yes. And, you know, but I found His teachings are absolutely beautiful.
Same.
There was Swami, when Swami gives a discourse, he's talking to a mass of people.
Yes.
And therefore, people at different levels of understanding or
yes.
consciousness.
Yes.
And therefore, you look for the pearls.
Correct.
But the likes of Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta, every word they spoke was full.
Yes. Swami's come for the entire humanity, he's come for the masses. Everyone should rise, to raise the level of consciousness of every man. So.
Yes, so we were fortunate to be with some wonderful holy ones. Babaji.
Babaji?
Yes. He gave me a message to give to Swami.
What was the message?
He said to me, Arthur, when you see Sai Baba, tell him the Maha Avatar sends his love and he will speak with you. And when getting ready for Christmas and took the play to Swami, and always he had a look at it on the veranda, but this time he said, come inside. So I went inside, we just stood there. And he read through the thing, the play, and then he said, yes, very happy, very happy. And he just stood there waiting. And so I said to him, Swami, you know my great love for holy ones, true holy ones. He said, yes, I know. Then I said, I've been with the Baba of Nainital, and he said that I should give you a message, Swami. He told me to tell you that the Maha Avatar sent his love and that you would speak with me. And I swear that his eyes glistened like diamonds and he looked into forever. And very quietly he said, yes, I will speak with you. But it wasn't then. It was 18 months later, and we were in with Swami, and he was talking to Poppy, and then he suddenly cut it short, and he leaned over to me, and he said, I will speak with you, I'll speak within you, I will speak through you. What can you say? I just said, yes, Swami.
What a fantastic statement. And then assurance from Swami.
But there was one time when I spontaneously went to Swami and I prostrated full length. And when I was getting up, he said to me, why did you stretch out like that? And I said, because I love you. And oh, he said, and I love you.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it was wonderful because for quite a few years, being near him, the tears would just run. The love was so powerful. And one time when he was walking past, and I thought, Swami, please let me be near you without tears. And he went forward about 5 feet and he turned round and he just looked into my eyes and he just kept looking, and the more he looked, the bigger I smiled.
Wow.
Yes. So I got my wish.
Fulfilled. Your wish was fulfilled.
Yeah. There is nothing greater than being drawn to the avatar of the age, to God. Nothing greater than that. And we're very fortunate to be able to go to many countries and talk to them, share with them his teachings and his wondrous love.
When was the first time Swami asked you to speak?
That was 1989.
It was Christmas time?
Yes. But he'd been drawing me up to get me ready for doing what we're doing now. And he changed my life for me, for a beggar without much education, and suddenly find myself being a management consultant.
Mm.
And the things that I did in that, there's no way in the world that I could do that.
He set it up.
I didn't have the education for it.
Mm.
I couldn't stand up and talk to two people. And the very first job that I had, I only had 6 weeks training. And I had to then speak to my previous superiors about the principles of management and control systems. I nearly died. However, because I was designing systems, big systems, it meant that I had to train people to operate those systems. So I had to talk more and more, until the point that in 1989, Swami then started on it here. And then every year for quite a number of years, I spoke every Christmas. The first time had 3 days notice, but gradually they got shorter and shorter until the last two times that I spoke.
Yes.
And he hadn't said anything about speaking, and so I'm just sitting quietly, and then Swami looked across at me and he went,
"You had thought you will just sit back and enjoy Christmas."
Yes, yes. And so he beckoned me.
Yes.
So I went over and I said, "Yes, Swami." He said, "Are you ready?"
Ready for
what?
And
the following time, he didn't even do that. He was just sitting there looking around at everybody. We were waiting for him to stand up and give his discourse.
Mm.
And he looked across at me. "You see, you can't just assume you're going to speak." And so I didn't move.
Mm.
So he looked around for a little while. Then he looked at me a bit harder.
Mm.
So I got up and I went over and I said, "Yes, Swami, speak to them." He said, "Speak to them." But then, of course, from there on in,
yes,
I've been speaking everywhere else.
Well, he's been speaking through you. He told you he'll speak through you. He's in you. So your life, from the time you came to know Swami in 79,
yes,
till now, how do you see your life?
To say much about that would take too much away from it. Because to be with him so many times and for length of time, and you know, probably one of the people ask me sometimes, what's your best time with,
yes,
Swami? And I usually say all the time.
There is no one particular best moment with Swami.
Well, the one that I mentioned before, 6 days in a row, and in the first 3 of those days I was just alone with Swami. And then one man, each of the next two. And then he said, "Soon I'll speak with you and your wife." I said, "Yes, Swami." So it was the next day. And that was beautiful. But it suited me best with my search was that he called me inside. One student.
Mm.
We went and sat with him. And he spoke a couple of words to us, and then he was sort of leaning in his chair, and his eyes closed, and his face muscles dropped, and he was gone. And so we sat there and waited for him to come back.
He was gone.
He left his body.
Trance.
Or he was doing something, work. That was backwards and forwards. He'd come back and say a couple of words and then be gone again. So one doesn't know what was going on at that time. But all I know was when I was going back to my room and a lady said, "How'd the interview go?" I couldn't talk. through the teeth, I said, later, because I'd have come quite undone. It was such a wonderful experience.
Did Baba reveal to you about where he had gone in the trance?
No, you see, and I never ask Swami questions, really. Only once that I said to him, Swami, do you have any advice for me?
Yes.
And he said, advice? What advice? You don't need advice. So, and I take that now to the fact that he was running things, not me.
Yes.
And that everything is done by God itself. We can't puff up and claim how well we've done in our studies or anything else, because everything is done by God, totally.
When did he ask you to start looking after the Christmas celebrations in Prashantinilayam?
Well, Swami just came to me and all he said was Christmas. And I said, Swami, do you want me to do Christmas? He said yes and walked off.
Which year was this?
Oh goodness, that must have been 94, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, where the world is concerned, see, I don't record it all. I don't try and remember it all.
Early 90s. For more than 10 years you were looking after the Christmas celebrations every year.
Yes, about that, yes.
And you have some good memories of interactions with Swami during Christmas celebrations? How he used to guide you, how you used to take interest in the celebrations?
Some of them were quite sudden. Swami was walking past and I said, what time should we start, Swami? He didn't stop walking, but he just looked back. He said, you're speaking this evening. So, you know, but, you know, this is nothing odd, because all the students, they all have to be ready.
All the time.
Yes. So, I never wanted notes. Notes take too much away from you.
You speak from the heart.
Yes, yes. And I wouldn't think about it until Poppy had left for Darshan on Christmas Day, and then I would just think about where will I start and then let it go from there.
Yes.
But you just your effort must be there as well, you see.
Yes. So were there times when Swami asked a particular Christmas to be celebrated in a particular way?
No, but there were traps.
Traps?
Yes. There were traps. One time a lady came to me and said, Swami told me to get my play ready. And I said to her, well, Swami hasn't mentioned Christmas to us yet, so we can't do anything. We haven't got the committee together yet. So she went away. And then she came back the next day saying, Swami came to me on the lines and said, have you started your play yet? She said, no, not yet, Swami. So she came again. And I told her the same thing. But the following day, she came back again and said, Swami asked my son on the lines, has your mother started her play yet? So what was coming up was a big trap. So I said to the committee when I got them together, I said, look, this is what's been happening, but it is a trap. Our job is to select a play that we think is right for here, right for the stage, and everything else, you know. And I told her about the other lady, you see, about this lady, and I said, this happens to be a trap. Our job is to select the best play, what we think is the best play, and take it to Swami then for his blessings. But I said, if we take this lady's word and we don't do our job, our responsibility, then I said, we're in trouble.
Yes.
So anyway, it wasn't her play that we came up with. And I took it up to Swami. He had a look at it. He said, yes, very happy. And he walked straight over to the lines where that lady was and said, are you getting your play ready? And she said, Swami, you didn't select our play. You're an actress. So, it was, shall I say, stirring the pot. When I say this, we had our money embezzled one time, and we came to Swami, and we said to him, Swami, you know what's happened with our money, but we don't worry about that. But we have another unit, should we sell that? And he said, no, don't sell it. Another chance of a trap. Because we had some money, and we'd paid for our flights to England, to Russia, and to America, but we had no money left. And I said, Swami said to go, so we just hope somebody will feed us. But 3 weeks before, the Fidelity Fund paid us some money back. You see, it was an opportunity for us to panic and sell the place. But we didn't do that. So you see, you have to see and think about things. Even to when you ask Swami, should you do something? If you say, can I do this, Swami? Swami will say yes. And when he complains later that something's wrong and says, you told me it was all right, Swami, he'd say, no. You asked me, could you? And I said, yes, you can. But you didn't ask me what you should do.
Yes.
So I always used to ask Swami, I've been asked to do such and such. Should I or should I not do that? And if he says yes, it's okay.
Yes.
And then you're all right.
With years and experience, you learn to interact with Swami.
Every moment being here.
Yes.
Every moment being here. And this time, in particular, with the changes, you can fit in with it beautifully because everything goes to clockwork.
Yes.
And quietly. Mm. And after all, he hasn't gone anywhere.
Yes. You had so many devotees from more than 40 countries.
Yes.
Mm. Yes, who had come. And yeah. And the decorations were marvelous.
Oh, they were beautiful this year.
Amazing decorations by devotees from Croatia and South Europe, European countries.
Well, it was the old Yugoslavian countries.
Yeah.
Yugoslavia's sort of been split up into about six countries now.
The Balkan states.
Yeah. Yes. They work together, which is so nice.
They're beautiful people.
And all these people, I mean, they worked as a family. They are bound by the bond of Sai love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. So Christmas this year was the same for many people. I mean, it was different, but at the same time, the feeling of love was the same.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, yes. Nice. It's wonderful. Mm. And you find that wherever you go, in California, in New Mexico, wherever, all these things are really a lead up to finding the truth.
Yes.
And God is leading you all the way.
Yes.
And once you start asking in earnestness what's it all about, God takes you by the hand.
Just as he has taken your hand.
Yes. Yes, he has. And there's nothing greater. If you just think, as we were told in early years, that you're not worthy of God, you're a miserable sinner, God's up there in cloud nine waiting to hit you with a stick if you do anything wrong, and it's all nonsense.
Yes.
It's all nonsense, because you have a loving God, not a punishing God.
God cannot be anything but love.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And we need to know that.
Yes.
And we need to know it so that you can speak with it, about it with confidence,
yes.
With sincerity, with conviction.
Yes. That is the central message of Swami. God is love, live in love. That sums up everything that Swami has taught us for all these years.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes. But when you search, you know, you don't have to rush at it.
Yes.
You don't have to ignore everything else. You have a role to play in life.
Yes.
The body must do that. But you can do something different. You can ask questions.
Yes.
And for us, you know, I always used to read the poppy of a night before bed and go to that on our minds as we're going to sleep.
Mm.
And it all fell into place. And, you know, I had experiences in the caves up in the Himalayas that I asked Swami about, because I thought I might have been going a bit mad.
Oh, so when did this happen, experiences in the caves in Himalayas? Much before you came to Swami?
No, after.
After?
It was in the early 90s, wasn't it?
Yes, and we were
in the 90s you went to the Himalayas, to the caves, to meditate or meet holy men?
We went to see, we'd heard, why did we go up to, it was Patal Bhuvaneshwara.
Well.
Oh, Patal Bhuvaneshwara.
Yeah.
Patal Bhuvaneshwara.
But a funny thing, James Redmond came down and he wanted permission to film the Christmas program. And we fixed that up and he was telling us about this cave up there and what he'd seen in it and so forth and so on. I said to Poppy, you know, we should go there. But this chap came and asked me again, why don't you come up and see us? And James Redmond had given the address of the chap who would take us there.
Mm-hmm.
And this all came out, and we did all that, but we went into the cave eventually, and they were going to do a puja. To go into the cave, I just thought about walking inside to a cave and looking around, but it wasn't like that. There was a little opening. You went in, and then going down, you'd go down backwards because it was pretty close down, the ceiling.
Ceiling.
And when we got to the bottom, oh, it must have been about perhaps 40 feet or something. When we got to the bottom, they showed us Sheshnag.
Sheshnag.
The seven heads on the ceiling.
Seven heads, yeah. Seven serpent heads, yes.
Yes.
Sheshnag.
And on the floor was the backbone.
Okay.
Going through the cave.
Mm.
So there were several things. Ganesh was there, but you wouldn't really recognize it because there was no head.
Mm.
But there was dripping onto the head, which they say is keeping the body alive until they get a head for it. And so we saw different things, but there was a tree in there with fruit on it, but everything is black rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Black.
And not man-made, according.
Mm.
So we saw these things when we, there was a square little cave there and you go through it. It was the doorway to moksha.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just tell people I ran through it 10 times. But there were things there, and there was a tunnel going up in the rock, and with a strong torch you can see what they say is an old sage still doing tapas. So those things were right. Then they had the puja. And there was a lingam there. And there were a few of them there. But there's this main one, and the top was curved out a bit, and there were three small lingams in there, and the drops were coming from the ceiling onto those lingams.
Mm.
Oh, I forgot the wall. With when you put your hand against it, it was hairy.
Hairy?
Hairy, yes. And the water was coming from the head of it, Shiva, coming down and then going down to deeper levels.
It was the back of Shiva's head, and the water coming down was supposed to be the Ganges water.
Mm.
Yes. And so, and we come to the what it's all about shortly.
Mm.
And then we had this puja. Well, when they started conducting it, was pretty loud. But suddenly, it was as if a veil came up and I was separated from the others. And I'm starting to chant in a language I didn't know. And I thought, what's gone wrong? Am I going funny? And I was a bit worried about it, and I fought to stop it, which I did eventually. And then the veil was gone. But then at the end of the puja, or near the end of the puja, when we just sit in silence, there came Golden Ganesh, giving blessing, but in still.
You had this vision.
Mm.
Yes, yes. And then it was of Lord Shiva. And then that faded, and then Nataraj came. And, you know, I was a bit worried about going off the top, you know.
Mm.
But when I got down to Whitefield, Michael Goldstein said to me, Arthur, Swami was looking for you.
Oh.
You should have been in there. You used to go with the students, you see.
Mm.
So I went in the next day. Swami was talking to the students, and he looked up lying. And so I went over to him, and I said, yes, Swami. He said, tell them about some of your experiences. So here was my opportunity.
Mm.
And I said, Swami, should I tell them about the cave? He said, yes, tell them. I said, Swami, what I had there, was that real or was it monkey mind? He said, it was real.
He confirmed it.
Yes. And he said, I said to him, should I tell them that, Swami? Yes, he said, tell them everything. Which I did. It was a big relief to me that Swami said all that. And
so it was, he was the one. He was giving you those visions.
But later, a professor from the Kerala University translated a part of the... Then we read about everything we'd seen in there. There'd been written long, long ago.
Oh, it was in the Puranas.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's when we realized what a sacred place it was.
Sacred places. This is all in Patal Bhuvaneshwar.
Mm.
All these things lead you a little further, further.
Yes.
Until then you know.
Mm.
And that's when we first met Babaji too, wasn't it?
Yes, he came, ran like a stone...
tack.
Yeah, tack into my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got down to Nainital, it was boom, 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 you know.
Became infected.
Became infected and swollen. Mm.
It was thriving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was having trouble walking with it. And so the publican there, who was a devotee of Babaji, he rang him and said, listen, they're coming up to see you, but they can't get there because of the foot, you know. Mm. And he said, I'll come and see them, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And at 10 o'clock they put us into a bigger room, and at 10 o'clock he arrived. And with a flourish and looking a little older in the face, but his skin was just like a youth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came and he put his hand round the foot and he said, this will give you no more trouble. As a matter of fact, it's a blessing from God, like through the something coming out through the extremities.
Mm. Some karmas.
Yeah. And and then he talked to us about something, and he sent me out of the body a couple of times.
Sent you out of the body?
Mm.
Yes, he touched me, and then he turned to Poppy and said, he's gone.
How did it feel when you went out of your body?
There was no thought, absolutely no thought. There was nothing except seeing. And then later there came hearing, and he was calling, Arthur, come back. Come back, Arthur. And I wasn't thinking about coming back or staying or anything. But next minute, I come back into the body. And he said, what did you see? And I said, I had to think about what I'd seen. And I said to him, there were beautiful coloured jewels floating by. And he said, they were the seven coloured rays. I'd read about these before, but that wasn't what I was after, you see. I was looking for truth. So then he did it again. That's gone. And same thing. It brought me back the same way. And then he said to me, what did you see this time? And I said, it was as if all the veils of ignorance was parting and I'd see everything. But his voice came, Arthur, come back. So I missed it. But that doesn't matter now.
So you've had wonderful experiences.
Yes.
Meeting not only Swami, by his blessings meeting so many holy men.
Could I be his blessings?
Yes. Fantastic.
There was one other holy man I must mention, because he played a role of a beggar for quite a number of years, until they found out he was no beggar at all. He was a sage. And that was Yogi Ram Sarat Kumar from Arunachala.
Arunachala.
And we sat with him on numerous occasions, and he was so loving, but he would not accept that he could do anything. But one of the things he did, suddenly he jumped up and he had two men with him. He said, come. And they ran over to a lake or something that was there, and there were a few people there, and they'd been trying to get a chap out of the water for about 2 hours, and they couldn't. He'd gone into the water and his foot had slipped into a crevice, and they couldn't get him out. And so he said to one man, you stand there and don't move. And he said, you stand there and don't you move. And he went to the edge and he said to the man, it's all right now, you'll be out in 10 minutes. And 10 minutes went by and the man's foot slipped out of the rock.
Wow.
But he was beautiful, wasn't he? He was so beautiful.
So, did you ever expect that you will be in the studios of Radio Sai?
No.
And sharing all these experiences?
No, people, you know, want me to write things and do things, and I always dodge all that. Writing something for me, and perhaps people will get something from it, but I always feel that I'd like to speak to an audience.
Yes.
And let them,
yes,
feel, yes, the reality of it. I'm using the word that I shouldn't use at all, because nothing is reality except that which is permanent.
Permanent, so.
Oneself.
Yes.
God.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time. I should not keep you holding for long, because you have to leave tomorrow early in the morning.
Yeah.
And it has been a very long day. You had the Christmas Mass,
yes,
in the morning, and then you had the evening program, and then you took this time out to come. This is actually 11:30 in the night.
It's 11:30 now.
I should apologize for keeping you here for so late. Thank you so much for coming.
My second name is Cinderella. I'm going to turn into a pumpkin soon.
Well, you see, I've talked many times here, but I don't go into anything in depth, you know. But now, because Swami used to speak all that,
yes,
and I didn't feel that I should But the other day I felt, well, we haven't been for a couple of years, and I need to say a few things.
Mm.
People need to think. People need to study.
Yes.
Search for meaning.
Yes.
And bring understanding.
Yes.
And you realize that even that is a stumbling block, but you've got to have it first to see that.
Yes.
And then you must continue on going to inner standing.
Yes. Because now it's all about inner views,
yes,
our inner experiences and inner journey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Swami has trained us on that path all these years, and that is where we should now go on earnestly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming to the studio.
A pleasure.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. You just heard the second part of the conversation with author and Poppy Hillcott, a very senior and honored Sai couple from Australia. Baba appointed author as the chairman of the first Sai Center in Queensland, Australia, way back in the year 1983. Since then, he has held various important positions in the Sai organization, and from the year 2004, he has been serving as a senior advisor to the Prashanti Council, the body which oversees the activities of the International Sai Organization. In this episode of Tryst with Divinity, author and Poppy shared how the Lord has been continuously guiding and protecting them even as they were busy doing His work. They also narrated their experiences with many spiritual masters whom they were able to meet, thanks to Baba's grace and guidance. This conversation was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai in the month of December 2011, just a couple of days after Christmas. In conversation with author and Poppy was Radio Sai's Bishu Prishti. If you have any suggestions or comments, please feel free to write to us to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, and Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam.